The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
We're into June, and Jordan Walker is back. We'll talk about him and a whole lot more here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We are brought to you by Rival Fantasy. Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. Always a pleasure to be with you on these Fridays, Todd. Mentioned Jordan Walker is back. If he goes off, it won't be for my team because it won't be for the guy who drafted him, because I've long since dropped him. But I do wish him the best. How are you doing today?
Doing well. excuse me. A little warm in New England, but that's good. We talked to Brian Walton an hour ago on Sirius about Jordan Walker and the Cardinals, and he's going to play. Lars Nootbaar is the latest outfielder to go in the IL, so Walker's going to get a chance to play.
Yeah, and he's been able to hit that reset button. What's your level of interest now that he's been able to kind of get his lumps out, take his lumps, hit the reset button, and
Still optimistic, but like you, not rooting for him on any of my teams. All about me and my teams, right? But he's not the first to go down and struggle and come back. Still young, he's the kind of guy I like to watch. So we'll go from there. But who knows? I mean, I can't predict. I mean, I'll project whatever, but you never know with these young kids. And there's openings in St. Louis right now. We had a lot to talk about with Brian, actually. So it's just an interesting organization team right now. I think Jack Flaherty's on the mound tonight. We'll hear his name in a few minutes when we talk about Rival. But, I'm done. It's our first time doing this, folks. Sorry.
No, I left you hanging there. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what Walker can do. He wasn't available in the Stake League last night, but I was – thinking about, wanting to stash Ellie De La Cruz. I said last week that I didn't see him getting past that rookie threshold this week. He was already stashed in the State League. But then that Ken Rosenthal C-Trent article about how he's coming, what they're going to do with India. I still think it's going to be like at least a month before you see De La Cruz, but he's really starting to become the talk of the baseball world. And as a Reds fan, that's a cool little, wrinkle. I'm not used to having like the hot young player.
We mentioned the series. We talked about it with Doug Dennis and Jeff, both Reds fans. He was picking on me today, but fortunately the Red Sox came through last night, so had a little bit to fall back on. I said gonna get you on there too and just really pig pile on the Red Sox fan. But the
we've been waiting a long time.
Jeff was optimistic or hopeful that De La Cruz would be sooner than later. Doug was kind of in the middle. It's kind of a nice issue to have. And as Doug pointed out, when they're together on the farm, McClain and De La Cruz, when they played together, it kind of 50-50, where McClain playing second base and De La Cruz short. And then on the other days, when McClain was at short, De La Cruz played third, something like that. And you mentioned India. India can flip-flop as well. So you can find a way to keep the three bats in the lineup and make it all work. What that does with Spencer Steer is a question.
Oh, he's been awesome.
Yeah, as Doug pointed out, though, not so much with the glove.
True.
Can flip between third and first. Where does Joey Votto, if he comes back, does he DH? Does he come back? I mean, every week.
Yeah, I'm thinking at this point maybe he doesn't come back.
Yeah, you kind of do the same with the RotoWire back end, looking for, you know, keep twitching his return date. Mm-hmm. We've got a question while we're with the Reds, Christian Strand. I think De La Cruz comes up before Strand at this point, but who knows?
That's tough. I could see him maybe almost coming up together, but that is a good question. But it feels good as a Reds fan to have like the prettiest girl at the ball. You know? Everybody's talking about De La Cruz and
yeah, twin sisters,
lofty comps.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, no, it is good, and it's much better to the question, what are we going to do with all these shortstops, is not a bad question to have to answer, right? I mean, it's a lot better than why can't we find someone to play shortstop?
Yeah, that was their problem so many years in the past, and I saw another tweet recently from a prominent writer, maybe it was Rosenthal, that the Reds are getting quite a bit of calls about Jonathan India, but India has emerged as a leader on this team and really kind of like the identity of the team. So don't see that happening. There'll be a place he or De La Cruz can play. You know, I think De La Cruz could probably play elsewhere. Maybe they don't want to move him elsewhere, but either way, I think they'll find a way to make the pieces fit. And yeah, Spencer Steer with the bat has been just the way he is, he's kind of like a mini Austin Riley. Not as talented, but just really calm in the box, really never looks overmatched.
Not in the lineup today. We should point out, since it's Reds talk, the Reds have an early game today, 5 p.m. against the Brewers. There is Eastern, I should say.
On Apple Plus, or Apple TV.
There is a Zach Brown concert following the game, for those wondering why it's so early. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to Zach Brown today, not literally, but his music on Sirius today was unaware. They played the chicken song as the lead in. So okay, yeah. Anyway, very clever. But anyway,
kind of a strange lead in song.
Well, they wanted to. We could lead in for Zach Brown. But anyway, five p.m. Eastern start with the Brewers and the Reds today. So if you're in a league that locks lineups or pickups, then make sure as soon as you're done, as soon as Clay and I are done ranking pitchers, run over and make all your moves.
Yeah, I have to. I'll have to check because I hate when the Reds are playing the Brewers and they're in town because, well, not in town, they're about an hour away, but that's the only time I can't watch the Reds. But if they're on Apple TV Plus, I wonder if the blackout rules still apply. Let's go ahead and get rid of those blackout rules, MLB, please. But with De La Cruz, Jordan Walker, both stashed in the stake league, the top pickup this week was Nolan Jones for $7, kind of a quiet week this week. I actually had a $7 bid to one Akil Badu. So the top two guys at $7 were Nolan Jones and Akil Badu. Badu's been playing pretty well over his last 10 games. He's batting .310 with a couple homers and a steal. What do you think? What's your level of interest in Akil Badu with Detroit?
We've seen this before where he goes on hot streaks, mainly playing against right-handers. Mm-hmm. I think, but today, I mean, as I've said, not so much the hot streak. I think you have to follow the playing time, and he's getting the playing time. And with some of the injuries, Riley Green specifically, there's room for Badu to play against a couple of softballs or maybe not be pinch hit for when a lefty reliever comes in to get that extra couple of the bats. So sure. Green is part of the reason why the top of the order has been a little productive for Detroit, but absolutely. You mentioned Jones. It may come up when we talk pitching, but just to make sure we get it in there for the folks. It's not a 7-day week, but the Rockies are home for 6 next week.
Yeah, let's take a look at their schedule. It's 3 at home against San Francisco, then 3 at home against San Diego.
But your stake league, it doesn't matter because it's the split week.
That's true.
But, yeah, for those
of us. It is a deep league. So
yeah, no. I'm just pointing out. Yeah, sure. I mean, is there two? Yeah, Dinelson LeMay. Yeah, so it would have come up that there are that it's a full week. It's only the second time it's happened, and the first time was seven. This is only six games, but hey, six of Coors is better than three somewhere else, right?
So, you know, as mentioned, they both go for $7 here in the RotoWire Stake League. Would you rather have Nolan Jones or Akil Baddoo the rest of the way?
The rest of the way?
I know it's kind of putting you on the spot.
I suppose Baddoo, but I'll take Nolan Jones short. I'll take those six games. Why? It's the Stake League. It's 3-3. Hmm. But, I mean, I'll take Jones short term and look for the next guy when it comes up.
I still had Oswald Peraza in my lineup, so he got sent down, so that was an easy swap. Yeah, I was just holding out hope that Peraza could get it going. It just never happened.
And Cabrera was sent out, too.
Yeah, that's actually who I had, Cabrera.
Okay, Oswaldo, right. Well, even so, neither of them have done what the Yankees nor fantasy leaguers had hoped.
I went ahead and got them confused myself right there. So, yeah, I had Oswaldo Cabrera, the outfielder, and I had to get him out. So hopefully Baddoo represents an upgrade for me.
Good dude.
Tommy Henry. My God, that was a stretch, Todd, but that was kind of funny. Tommy Henry's a guy I think we've talked about on this two-star pod numerous times, and I've just kind of been like, zero. I need to see something else. Well, he's showing us something, Todd. Tommy Henry's on a heck of a run for Arizona. He goes for six here out of 100 in the RotoWire Stake League. I think I had a bid on him for a couple bucks. I don't know. I'm still, like, hesitant to come around because, you know, he did just beat the Rockies at home. He had that outing at home against San Francisco, home against Washington. I'm still seeing kind of fool's gold here with Tommy.
Well, spoiler alert, he's going to be above a zero for me with his two starts this week. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be looking to drop him after this. You know, he's not a guy that I'm looking to keep on my roster. And again, the Stake League, he's not going to get two starts, but he is going to get two starts in conventional leagues, as we'll mention in a moment.
Yeah, he'll be a guy who's a pretty popular ad across leagues, I think. You know, he was picked up in a fair number of leagues last week, Tommy Henry. So.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine he'll be scooped up where he's still available. Colin Poche, man, Pete Fairbanks back on the IL. That guy just can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Feel for him, but Poche could see some saves in the short term. Matt Strom for six. Romy Gonzalez has been on a heater.
Yeah.
Well, strange, but he goes for four. Rodolfo Castro for two. Kevin Pillar for two. Tucapita Marcano for two. Tariq Skubal for two. Robbie Grossman, I had him as a backup on Baddoo. He goes for two. Hayden Wesneski's back, but pitching in relief. He goes for a buck. Cody Clemens, these are all $0 ads now. Cody Clemens, Kenta Maeda, Rougned Odor. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, talk about heaters. Jaime Barria, Michael Grove. I got Ben Joyce for zero, which I was kind of happy about. Adam Wainwright, Abraham Toro, Ronnie Mauricio. And Corey Dickerson. So I said, a lighter week spending wise, but still a lot of pickups.
I was going to say, that's a lot of names.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of tweaking, and that's cool.
Yeah. People are scratching and clawing. I've started to get hot in this league with guys like Santander and, you know, Julio Rodriguez getting hot. So I've surged, but it's, you got to stay on top of it. And Ben Joyce was one I really thought James Anderson probably outbid me on Ben Joyce because I know he loves him. He's up, looking fantastic. Is he a guy who's worth stashing, though? A closer stash, Ben Joyce?
He didn't just hit 102. He was sitting 102.
That's so sick.
That's silly. I think he is. Estevez has not, you know, pitched himself out of the role closing in Anaheim. But at some point, If Joyce can keep things in control, literally and figuratively, how can you not? So I do think he is worth the stash. You know, he was worth the stash when he was up last time, but then he was sent down. So I think the bigger question is going to be, is he worth keeping again? I guess it depends upon why he may end up being sent down. If is it I don't think there's really injuries now. I think he's just earned another shot.
Yeah, and if there was ever a guy who's just made for pitching ninja,
yeah,
it was this guy. I mean, he's already made several cameos on Pitching Ninja. Rob Friedman's Twitter, of course, if you're unfamiliar. And I mean, the movements on 102 is just unfair. I mean, I don't see how you could not have this guy at the back end in the highest leverage spot. But, you know, I think it will happen. Just may take a little bit. So we'll wait and see on Ben Joyce. But I think he is a guy to add, and especially in 15-team plus leagues. So you go out and get you some Ben Joyce.
Well, right now, one might argue that Chris Devensky is ahead of him. But I'm not sure you make Devensky the closer over Joyce. I think Devensky's ability to go multi-innings, or well, more than three outs, keeps him valuable in that role. So I think it's just, you know, if Estevez has pitched, you know, two out of 3 days or whatever, three out of four, I think we may see Joyce get an occasional save here or there. Matt Moore is the one that's out with the injury, a left-hander who's more than just a loogie, obviously. But the Angels have been doing interesting things with the bullpen. They called up Sam Bachman, who doesn't have Joyce's pedigree or hype or whatever, but still a young kid. And they've taken starter Chase Silseth and put him in the bullpen. I'm still hoping that Silseth gets a chance to start. Needs to show he deserves it. But I'd like to see Silseth at least get one more chance anyway to be a starting pitcher.
Now, I mentioned Poche. If he had to choose between Poche and Ben Joyce as a pickup, would it be kind of Poche in the short term, Joyce in the long term?
Yes. However, if I was okay short term, I want to stash Joyce. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the his prognosis is with Fairbanks right now, but even if you're already, it's a short stay. Aren't you a little concerned that he heads back to the IL at some point, right? So it's kind of a temporary calming of the mind with Fairbanks. I think it's always in the back of your head that something could go bad.
Absolutely. Well, I mentioned Hayden Wesneski. I saw he pitched in relief the other day, so I don't have a ton of interest there. But would you think about maybe picking Wesneski up, just given the stuff and the pedigree?
I think we have him starting next week. Huh. Maybe it's just out of necessity. But we have him for two starts next week. So
yeah, he did pitch in, you know, 3.2 innings. So it wasn't like he shortened up in relief. But
yeah, so it's a scenario that I know that Justin Steele is out.
Yeah.
So it could just be moving in Justin Steele's spot, at least for the time being.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, because they probably just didn't need him right away in the rotation, but they will. So that makes sense to have him available in relief.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes him certainly more appealing, Hayden Wesneski. All right. Well, before we talk about some rival fantasy, let me tell you a little bit about it. A new MLB season means it's let me start over. A new MLB season means it's time for a new kind of daily fantasy baseball. Rival Fantasy is the fantasy platform reinventing the way daily and weekly games are played. And they've brought new games to the ballpark this year that fantasy players won't find anywhere else. Rival Fantasy's games include Fantasy Bingo, Head-to-Head Player Challenges, and Fantasy Book, where users can select over-unders for 2 to 5 players. With games like this, daily fantasy has never been better. Right now, RotoWire listeners could get a $50 protected first play. That means if you win your first play, you keep your winnings. But if you lose your entry, Rival Fantasy will fully refund you up to $50. Go to play.rivalfantasy.com/signup and use code RotoWireMLB at signup and deposit a minimum of $25 to get your first entry on Rival protected up to $50. Now's the time to step up to the plate and become a Rival today. Welcome to the arena. Todd, June 2nd, Street Fighter 6 release day. Who's who are you leaning on as your number one play on Rival tonight?
Yeah, it was tough for me to find a couple pitchers. It's just an interesting card in that there's a lot of good pitchers facing good teams and facing good pitchers. So if you feel you need to get the win, those 4 points to get the over, it was just some tough choices. But I was patient. I kept looking and kept looking, and I found a couple of pitchers for which I am taking the under. I may add a third later on today if I, you know, sort of do some more research. But going to go under with Jack Flaherty. I know he's pitched better lately, 7 innings in 2 of his past 3 starts, in innings count and scoring. But I still haven't seen enough to trust Jack Flaherty. And just coming back off of injury, Aaron Civale, under 17.4 points. So those are my two. I'm not as comfortable as I've been with other pitchers, but those I'm most comfortable. I may put a third or another series of picks in and add a third pitcher to it, but I'm going to leave that one as my main play for pitching. I know you didn't look at it too late, but does anybody stick out that I missed, or who do you like at this point?
Well, it kind of follows the same logic as your Civale pick, but Mike Clevinger is going to be my pick as an under. He is going against the Tigers, but Clevinger's just coming back from injury himself, a wrist injury, and he did not, unlike Civale, make any rehab appearances.
Correct.
So he threw a sim game on May 30th, Clevinger did. So I guess I just don't know how built up he is. Not like he was pitching well before going on the injured list anyway, a 4.56 ERA. Maybe my Badu pickup will pay some immediate dividends. Yeah,
that's a good call, and I'll explain. You mentioned workload. He was pitching around 95 pitches a game, and I did read that he could be 10 short of that. So he could only get – yeah. So I did the note when I was doing my ESPN piece for yesterday, talking about streamers today. So that's an interesting note that – 85 pitches is 5 innings, but it's only 5 innings. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Yeah. I don't know if I just missed Clevinger, but I like that call.
And I might've done the same thing. No, he is starting today.
No, he is.
Sometimes I see the Saturday's pitcher.
Right. No. I did write him up for today.
Yeah.
So I will probably add him as my third. Real quick with the batters. I actually like these more than I like my pitchers. And I generally, as we've talked about, aren't confident with the batters. Bryce Harper, facing Josiah Gray to get more than 8.3 points, a home run's worth 14. So, you hit a home run, you're already over. You're already well over. Juan Soto over Jameson Taillon at 8.3. And Sal Perez over 8 points for Chase Anderson. Now, Anderson's pitched better lately, but for whatever reason, my system really likes Salvador Perez today. So I'm going to, play the system, and which is, I think I've talked about it. I call it the fungo. Because it's not quite as resilient as the bat.
Mm. Well, I hope it holds up and get a base knock today. The daily fantasy is so hard because baseball is just on such a micro level, is so hard to predict. But it's a lot of fun. I've definitely been trying to expand my repertoire as a fantasy player and dabble in some rival as well. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I think my other pick is going to be okay. Not feeling any of the top hitters right now. And as much as I love Luis Castillo, Texas has been surprisingly good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over on Framber Valdez. Since it's only 16.16. LA, the Angels are the Angels. You work around the two big dogs and I think they should be okay. Plus, Otani's a lefty. So I'm going to go.
He's pitching tonight,
too. That's a good point. Yeah, and he's the top over-under point total on the board at 20.45. Anytime you get up there, especially against a team like Houston, I'm a little hesitant to use Otani. But I think the guy on the other side of the bump makes a lot of sense. Other side of that game, Framber Valdez.
Yeah, and you need the win. I don't know. Valdez can go deep, and he's been going deep. So, and it's not 20, right? It was like you said, 16 or 17.
Yeah, 16.16. So yeah, almost so that, 4 points below Otani.
Yeah, you can get that without getting the win. So that that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, good stuff. Anything else on your mind in regards to rival tonight?
Yeah, don't get too cocky because I was doing really well and it's been a poor week. So fortunately, it's like I'm going all in. I didn't do that, but just the way things go. I was doing I was on a bit of a heater, and just as anything of this nature, you know, is, it doesn't work out so well. So the key, you know, no matter what you're doing, don't get overzealous with your bankroll. Continue to play moderate, you know, within your system. And, you know, maybe, you know, I should hopefully knock on wood, still up, but we'll recapture whatever I happen to lose this week, because it wasn't I made bad picks. My players just didn't do well like they were supposed to, right?
Yeah, that's always the case. But this game, no matter if you're playing in real life or any sort of fantasy game, it's humbling, this game.
I mean, I've seen a lot of tweets to that effect this year with pitching. It's just even more unpredictable. I haven't done any studies on it, but I've seen people in the gambling realm, you know, Big John, John Legeza, a couple others that sort of are in the gambling realm have talked about how pitching just has, you know, it's even harder to predict. I mean, you go out there and some of these guys that, you know, Connor Seabold goes out and has a good game, you know, what? And then you watch some of these other guys that, you know, that are struggling, and hopefully Corbin Burns comes back tonight against your Reds in that early game, but I'm seeing signs of Burns maybe turning it around again. But, you know, some of the names of people struggling versus went out and started the shove. It's like, why again? Explain to me why I left biotech. I don't get it.
Well, before we move on, a friend of the pod, the Hart Foundation, had a question, so don't want to leave him hanging. Interesting question, too. He said somebody dropped Yuri Perez in his 12-team head-to-head league. Another dropped Bailey Ober, and he dropped Louis Varland, who's been pitching really well. But he dropped Varland on account of his upcoming matchups. Would you pick up any of those guys? I would probably just snag Yuri Perez. I mean, coming off 5 shutout innings against the Angels, we know the upside's there. Number one prospect in that system, and I'd go with the upside in a 12-team head-to-head.
I'd probably go with Ober because I think there's upside and stability. But I don't know. Maybe it's one of those leagues where all these guys are streamers.
Yeah.
So if this is the spot where you're going to stream, then that you kind of have to go into it with the mindset, you know what, I'm going to drop this guy because in order to win this week, I have to pick up somebody else. And someone else may pick up Ober or Varland or Perez, but I may get them back, or I'm going to get back somebody similar in a 12 or 10-team league. You know, if I, you know, who do I like? I do like Ober for the rest of the season. A little bit higher win potential, trust Minnesota. And I think he's going to spot. There's enough injuries there that he's going to pitch. And, I mean, all right, long-term Perez, but what have you done for me lately? I want Ober.
Interesting. I think you're right that in a league like that where you're considering these kind of options – you got to just think short term and look at them as streamers. So, yeah, it does make for a tough call. Bailey Ober tonight against Cleveland at home. Cleveland's just brutal on offense. Or Yuri Perez tomorrow at home against Oakland.
So in most you know, leagues of this nature, I want to have 5 starters who I'm going to just not drop. Mm-hmm. And all right, if 10-team league, that's 50. In a 12-team league, that's 60. I don't think any of these guys are top 60. So, to me, they're droppable. Now, we're getting to 15, and we're talking, you know, I want more than 5 starters. I want 6. And it's, you know, it's now we're up to top 90, and maybe they fill in the back end of the top 90. I'm in a 10-team ESPN league where we set up just to learn the new rules and play. There's only 7 pitcher spots, so it's even shallower. But, you know, guys like Ober and Perez are just funneling through left and right. You know, I mean, I give them up, and Eric Haribol, Tristan Cockcroft pick them up, but that's the way it goes. And I pick up who they drop. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think I'd roll with Yuri against Oakland this weekend. But Todd says Bailey Ober tonight against.
I was thinking you may. You know, in a single matchup.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I misspoke there. I shouldn't have said.
Well, even so. I mean, even so.
The question wasn't just about this weekend.
Right, right. I don't know. No, I see it. And there is a point that Louis Varland could be replaced by Maeda. You know what? I don't know that I drop Varland right. Well, it depends on the specs. Maeda hasn't shown seven good rehab, but he hasn't shown that the durability is still an issue.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and I really like Varland too. So, I mean, all those guys are good options. I'd go with Perez, but sounds like you can't. I wouldn't really feel bad about rolling out any of those options.
No.
All right. Well, let's get into the two start pitchers. As I mentioned at the very top of the show, we are into June. Kind of amazing.
Well, it's the pitch clock. It's going by faster.
Yeah. We have the pitch clock to thank for everything. You know, the first 2 months really flying by. All right. Two start pitchers for the week of June 5th, 2023. Tommy Henry, we mentioned, is a pickup in the stake league. Not a two-star pitcher there with the lineup periods, but here in traditional lineup periods at Washington, at Detroit. Mentioned he's going to be a popular ad where he's still available. So with those matchups, man. I mentioned I only had a couple bucks on him. I think I'm going to go three. No, two. I'm going to go two.
Yeah. I was even thinking of one, but I'm probably going to go two. No, if they were at home, I would think three. Mm-hmm. But being at home, I'm going to stick with two.
Bryce Elder was on the list last week. Another example of why this is all extremely tentative. This is a kind of a thought exercise more than anything. So definitely check back closer to the start of lineup lock. Check out Todd's weekly pitcher rankings to get a better idea. Closer to lineup time, how we're viewing these guys. But Bryce Elder's 3-0 versus the Mets versus Washington. I gave him a 5 last week. I'm tempted to do it again. The matchups aren't as good, though, so I'll give him a 4.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the 4. He's not quite ace material for me yet, so I'm going 4.
Yeah, and you said last week that you really want to keep the 5 grade special, and I respect that.
You know what? Yes, I do. Ain't going to see many of them this week, my friend.
Yeah, that's looking at this at a glance. It doesn't look like there's so many hot options.
I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I thought you were actually. Oh, I see what you're saying. Kyle Gibson at Milwaukee. Man, 35-year-old Kyle Gibson is 7-3. This Baltimore team is really impressive. At Milwaukee versus Kansas City. You know, you're playing with fire anytime you roll Kyle Gibson out there. But, yeah, at Milwaukee's not bad versus Kansas City's pretty good. So, I think I'll give him a notch ahead of Tommy Henry and go 3.
I'm going to go I'm going to go 4. I know you don't chase wins. You're supposed to not chase wins. But Baltimore's going to be favored in both of these games. So, I'm going to go 4.
Fair point. James Paxton. Now, you're a Red Sox guy, and Paxton, it was against the Reds, but 8 Ks, 1 earned run, over 5 scoreless innings, reached 100 pitches for the second time since returning. Kind of some ups and downs in May, but trending back upward. Where are you at on James Paxton right now?
At Cleveland, at the Yankees. Cleveland's actually striking out more lately. As a team, they still don't strike up much. And the Yankees, Stanton coming back.
Donaldson
as well, and they're both righties. I'm going to go – I'm debating between 3 and 4. I guess I'm going to go 4 because I think my paper is going to say – on paper is going to say 4. I am a little scared about the Yankees with their returning lineup.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3 just because he's still coming back and he seems to be pretty much fully stretched out, back to being himself. But 4 starts, it's just still need to see a little bit more before I feel great about him. But at Cleveland's just seems like a layup.
Yeah, I get the feel that it's kind of like a rental car where you're just going to drive it into the ground because he gets hurt again and retires. You know, it's done.
27 strikeouts in 19 innings. That part of his game is still there.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, yes, I'm going to go for, and you know, this is, it's a good time to hit refresh on Chris Sale and see if there's any news. But anyway,
yeah, I've been doing that all day. He was really pitching well, so it was a bummer to see Sale. I've still not seen the results of his MRA, so if that comes up,
we'll
let you know. We're keeping a close eye on that. All right, next up, Kyle Hendricks is back at San Diego, at San Francisco. Right when I was ready to just say no, he goes out and, you know, allows just one run against the Rays over five innings. Still not really interested in going here. Maybe if I have to in like the main, I just want to say past 2 weeks, Todd, I've put in, I don't even know how many bids, but I've been shut out completely on my pickups. It's been really frustrating.
Well, hopefully it means that everybody else is spending money and you'll have the hammer towards the end. Hopefully it matters. Hopefully it'll matter for you.
Yeah. It's just so many Hawkeyes in that league. Just can't get anybody through. Even all my $1 guys, I'm thinking nobody's interested in this guy. They go for three or four. Just crazy. The main event's wicked competitive, but maybe there I'd maybe throw a buck on Hendricks, and with that, I'll give him a one.
I will see your one and match your one, because I'm not going any higher.
I'd be more interested in Hayden Wesneski now that he's back, and we talked about how he pitched out of the bullpen. It does make sense with Justin Steele hurt that he would slot back in. Very tentative, and with that, I think I'm only going to give him a one. But as I said, I'd have him higher on the priority list than Kyle Hendricks.
I will agree. I don't think I'd have either in my list, but you know, in a vacuum, I agree. Yeah, we'll go with the one.
Luke Weaver and Hunter Green for the Reds next week on two. And you were saying before we started just how impressed you were with Hunter Green carving up the Red Sox last night. A bullpen let him down, but you know, he's only got one win, but you can see it with this kid, the flashes.
Yeah, I asked Doug about it, Doug Dennis, because I had a recollection that he was more of a max effort guy. And he's not.
It doesn't look like he's throwing 104, does it?
He has a bit of a whip at the end of his. Like, I mean, it's a deliberate motion, and he kind of explodes at the very end. Not really a whip, but he does explode at the very end. It's just, I mean, he was throwing. You know, his last pitch I think was 99 in the sixth, and you know the thing with the Reds is if you don't get to their starters early, be patient. Their bullpen will come in, and didn't help the Red Sox the first two games. And who knows what would have happened if Alexis Diaz came in the eighth last night. I don't know that it was a mistake, so to speak, not to bring him in. It was just circumstances. But, you know, your Reds took two or three from my guys, and they're in a bit of a heater on their own, the Reds are. But, yeah, so Weaver, I mean, he wishes he was as good as Kyle Hendricks, you know. So I'm going to go zero there.
He did have, he hasn't been pitching all that bad lately.
No, he hasn't. He was one of the guys that's like Connor Siebold, really?
Yeah.
I told everybody to stack against him, and he does this to me. But I still need to see it. I still trust history. It's not like he's throwing 95 where he was throwing 90 before, whatever, something like that. You're free to go one or two, but I'm going to stick with zero.
You know, I'm going zero on Weaver, but I will say when I was doing my Roto or Stake League Fab last night, I was just searching by last, you know, 14, 7 days, and he kept popping up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he has pitched kind of well. I didn't have a bid on him, though. But Hunter Green, I think, versus the Dodgers at St. Louis, I wonder if the changeup's ever going to come along for him. I think he can be good. Regardless, such a feel pitch though, and you know, maybe it just never comes along for him. Either way, I think he's pretty solid, not a completely finished product. And against the Dodgers at home, I think I'm gonna go four on Green. I think
I'm exactly where you are, four.
Yeah,
I mean,
three just feels a little low. But
and the strikeouts, Matt, I know he's going to strike Dodgers out. He may get four runs, but he's going to strike him out too. And he's been going fairly deep. He's been going six plus.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go four. I'm going to go four. You know, I'm thinking about the motion I just talked about, and when that little bit of an explosion, I wonder if that hurts the changeup, or, I mean, you throw the ball further back in your hand and the same motion, maybe it shouldn't matter. But, yeah, I'm curious to see if that does develop. And similar to Bryce Miller in Seattle, people say, well, you know, so few pitches. You're facing divisional opponents fewer times, and you're facing common opponents fewer times, or seeing the same team only once. It buys these guys a little time to develop the secondaries while they're dominating with one pitch.
Yeah, that's when you got that level of just talent, it buys you some time to kind of figure things out. And that's where we're at with Hunter Green. He's still in the figuring things out stage, but man, it's encouraging to watch. If you've been with the Reds through all these dark days over the last 30 years. Todd, I was looking at Shane Bieber's game log. He's next up on the two-star pitchers. Okay, he had a 9-strikeout appearance on May 9th, but here are his Ks over his last, 10 or so starts. 4-2-4-4, that 9-strikeout appearance, and 4-4-4-4-4. What is the strikeout stuff just gone with Bieber? I thought with his command that even if the stuff ticked back with his command, the strikeouts would still be there.
I don't think anybody expected the salad days Bieber, but we did expect more than 4-4-4. You know, it sounds like Moses Malone. Am I dating you at this point? I don't know. When he was talking about the NBA finals with Philadelphia way back when. Three people get that. Thank you. This particular matchup, Boston and Houston, neither of these teams strike out a whole lot. So that's going to hurt him as far as points go. I mean, I have him down in the 3 range, and it's probably because, you know, the matchup driven. I think he's still a 4 guy, but the matchups, even with this, you know, with the even lower strikeouts, drop him to 3.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think that's where we're at right now with Shane Bieber. I mean, now, it's not like the results have been totally abysmal. He does have a 6.17 ERA over his last 4 starts, but
that's not good.
Kind of skewed by 2 bad outings, a couple of decent ones sandwiched in there, but just the lack of Ks scares me. So, I'm only at a 3 on Bieber as well. Denelson Lamet's going to be a big old 0.
Yeah, that may be the number of innings he's in. No, he's going to throw 3 or 4. But I mean, home both times, San Francisco, San Diego. Yeah, that's a 0.
After some tough ones with like Green and Bieber, it's good to get an easy one with Nelson. Lucas Giolito at the Yankees versus the Mets, or I'm sorry, versus the Marlins. So at the Yankees, home against the Marlins. I don't have Giolito on more than a team or two, so I kind of just haven't really been keeping as close of tabs on him as I probably should. But with these matchups, he hasn't been that bad.
Better than last year, not as good as he was when he was really good.
Yeah, he's had a couple 4-run hiccups lately, but I mean, no, aside from his April 7th start, he has not had any like real disaster blow-ups, which can't be said about a lot of pitchers. So I think I'm going to go 3.
I'm going to go 4, but the hesitancy is Stanton and Donaldson are back, but they're right-handed batters. So I'm going to go 4.
Okay, that sounds about right. I'm going to stick with the 3, but got you down as a 4. Alex Fiedo at Philly. Yeah. I can't really see much here. At Philly versus Arizona.
He's one of those guys that's stuck in a couple of nice games lately. But, are the matchups worth playing? I have him exactly 99, which puts him like at, you know, exactly the lowest rated 1. Am I going to say 1? You know what? I'll say 1 because I do believe there's something to be said for recent performances and he hasn't pitched bad lately.
I hear you. Versus Arizona kind of scares me nowadays with how they're kind of coming on. It's still a pitcher's park.
Right? Yeah, you know what? His last out, maybe I'm thinking of the previous outing against the White Sox where he fantastic. I think that was like during the day, and I remember just watching that game because the Rangers, who do this to a lot of teams because they lead the league in scoring, did light him up last time. I'm going to stick with the one, but because I think Texas beats a lot of teams. I'm going to go with the one.
A lot of people in the fantasy world and in real life baseball are in a really desperate spot with pitching, so I could see the case for one. If you're really, really just need an arm, maybe you have Fido on the list. Brandon Belak got last week in the I think it was the FSGA Champions League for a buck, and I was pretty happy. Now, I didn't turn him loose, of course, so I did not capitalize on that great outing against the Twins, but – look, he's got a high whip, but Belak's trending in a pretty encouraging direction. Not a real exciting guy, but look, over his last four starts, he's got a 2.82 ERA.
Yeah, when he and I'll look up the name because I'm blanking it. The other guy that came up at the same time, JP France. I was, you know, give me Belak over France. I take the L, Zola, but I think lately Belak has kind of flipped that. I don't have him ranked that high in the rankings. I have him in the zero range, but I think that's going to change when I add in all the current factors, the new projections and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go with the one. I mean, it's not that big of a boost, but I am going to go with the one for Belak.
Okay, I got a two, but I'll mark you down as a one.
Maybe I just get, maybe what I need to do is say, until Toronto hits like they should, I shouldn't be downgrading teams.
And that yeah, I mean, you know? Toronto still, you see at Toronto, you're scared, but it hasn't been that kind of, even while a lot of teams are hitting, they have not, aside from Bichette's got a bunch of homers.
Yeah, it's tough to steal when you're running around the bases. So maybe that's the problem my formulaic rankings bring in what I have expected for Toronto. And even though the expectations have dropped and I factor in what's already been done, it still likes Toronto's batting. Mm-hmm. So maybe I need to override that a bit and jump Belak up.
So Belak, I have as a two. You got him as a one for now.
I still have him as a one, yeah.
As for now, check back with his weekly pitcher rankings though. This weekend, Hunter Brown. Tempted to go. I think I want to go four.
Yeah, a lot of the as you're kind of seeing, a lot of the stuff that it's like one good, one bad matchup. You know, or not too good and not too bad. Again, at Toronto, maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. I have him in that four range, and applying what I just said about don't be as scared about Toronto, I'm going to say four.
All right. Now here's an interesting one. I was actually kind of getting ready to just say zero and move on and maybe throw to our, blue wire ads here, but I think we have to take a second to talk about Mike Myers, M-A-Y-E-R-S. For Kansas City, because I was tempted to say, Mike Myers, let's move on. But at Miami, at Baltimore, he's got a 1.35 ERA, and he went six innings his last time out. Only three Ks, but he had eight Ks his outing before that, 4 2/3 innings. So right now he's between about 75 and 85 pitches. But, man, this is a guy that I think most people, just like I was right before I kind of dug in a little bit, are just going to kind of glaze over Mike Myers. Might be a cheap pickup that, maybe you don't turn loose right away, but you can at least see what happens with Mike Myers.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, the peripherals still aren't very good. No. 14 strikeouts and 5 walks and 13 in the third. Converted
only one homer.
Only one homer. Yeah, it's been 13 innings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's helped the ERA. I think I'm still relying on history and – even when he was sketchy as a reliever and you convert those numbers to starter numbers, I'm still a little bit sketchy. I'm going to say zero. And I understand if someone wants to take a chance, but I think there's a fine, and I talked about this in my Z files this week. There is a fine line between being stubborn and needing to see it again and knowing when to trust a short sample effort. And I tend to be from Missouri. That was nice. So let me see it again. Losing to a lot of people that are quicker to jump on a short-term effort, whether it was supported or not. But I'm still going to – that's a long way of saying I'm still a zero on Myers.
Yeah, this is – those are all good, you know, warnings to throw out there. And, yeah, you want to take the overall history into account. The overall body of work should weigh much heavier than what he's done. But I'm going to give him a one just because, like we said with – who was it? Alex Fiedo, somebody like this. Sometimes you're just desperate.
Yep.
So I'm going to give Myers a one. And you know what? If I'm going to give him a one, I'm going to give Fiedo a one. You got him as a zero, right?
Fiedo?
Yeah.
I don't remember at this point. In my head, I'm thinking one, but whatever I said, I'll double check.
At Philly versus Arizona.
While we play the break, I will review that one real quick.
All right, cool. Well, the Angels don't have anybody up for two starts, so that is a good time. We will pause very briefly for a quick word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is the Friday edition. Clay Link here with Todd Zola. Did you see that Fiedo grade? Or
I mean, I have. Really, I remember him now. I have him exactly at 100, so he would have been the lowest rated one possible.
Okay, okay.
A 0.1.
So I'll
no, he's a one. I'm going to give him a one.
I'm just, yeah, with my logic of Myers being a one, I kind of have to give Fiedo a desperation one.
Right, if I said zero, if someone wants to in playback, apologize. We're going one.
Yeah, and again, when we're talking one out of five, we're talking desperation. So,
yeah, yeah,
so far, the ones on my list, Hendricks, Wesneski, Fido, and Myers. So scraping the bottom of the barrel, you have to do what you got to do. Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers at Cincinnati, at Philly. Couple tough venues. But Gonsolin's looked a lot like his 2022 form. I'm going to go with a 4, I think, on Gonsolin.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the kind of max I'm going because of the lack of strikeouts. So, you know, by giving him a 4, I'm kind of, you know, I figure that the matchups are, you know, fine enough to stick with him there. So I will go 4 as well, but I always get nervous with Gonsolin. I think people like him more than I do, and I'm always happy to see my opponent, you know, draft him higher than me and this and that and the other thing. Cincinnati and Philadelphia, they both offenses one would think would be doing better, but neither really are. Maybe not so much Cincinnati, but I don't like at in either case as a park downgrade, but I'm still going to go 4.
By the way, while we're on the topic of the Dodgers, what the heck are they going to do with Noah Syndergaard? Do you have any idea? Because, I mean, I know that Gavin Stone really struggled, and maybe they don't, you know, have somebody that they really feel confident as a major upgrade over Syndergaard, but a 6.54 ERA. They got Bill Plaschke and these types talking about how the experiments failed, and it's time to move on. Do you think we do see them pull the plug there?
I think you kind of alluded to it. It's if not Syndergaard, then who? And, you know, Grove and Stone and Wilson, they're all kind of jostling between the three of them to see who gets the, you know, the start. Ryan Pepio, I'm trying to think of some of the guys that are hurt that can come back. Dustin May, not for a while. Walker Buehler, maybe in the final month just to get some work under his belt. But Arias, obviously. Yeah, you know what? You know, I think when some of the, you know, Arias comes back, someone will be gone. And is it going to be Bobby Miller? You know, that would be the decision. Do you put the rookie back down again? And I think maybe it depends on how he pitches. But at some point, I do think Syndergaard, you got to pull the plug.
It looks like we got Michael Grove in there. He's considered for a start this weekend. Oh, no, he is starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and then so sent Michael Stone Grove down. Yeah. In the mix, yeah. And sent Gavin Stone back down.
Yeah, and I don't think Bobby Miller's going anywhere.
What no, I don't think he is either. I'm looking Pepio now when we have him. Yeah, right around the All-Star break. So maybe you give Syndergaard to the All-Star break. I don't know.
So we mentioned that $1 bucket. I have guys like Kyle Hendricks, Hayden Wesneski, Alex Fido, Mike Myers in there. Would you say that Braxton Garrett versus Kansas City at the White Sox is a step up from that bunch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I would as well, but I still I am tempted to go 2, but I think maybe he's more of a 3. He's routinely going 5+. So, yeah, I'm going to go 3.
I have him in the 3 range. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna go 3.
All right, Julio Teheran. What a story!
Talk about you know the same night that Aaron Nola got lit up, Teheran goes out there and shoves. Mm. Yeah, why am I doing this again?
Predict ball. Yet we try. At Cincinnati for Teheran versus Oakland. You know, if this were 2 weeks ago, you'd probably be drooling over that, but the Reds have kind of picked it up, and it is in Cincinnati. So, you know, I'm going to go 0. This feels like the ultimate sucker move.
You know, right, and I'm the ultimate sucker, which is why I'm going to say 1.
Well, at least you're self-aware. No, you're not a sucker.
The word in this realm is donkey. And I think I'm the donkey. If you don't see the donkey, that means it's you. So, nay, whatever donkey. What does Eeyore do? Ooh, anyway.
Well, early on yesterday, Freddie Peralta was having some issues, but then he got it on track and actually ended up with a quality start.
Yeah, he did.
He's been bit by the long ball a little bit lately. 4 homers his last 2 outings, 2 apiece. He did have that one where he had 10 runs, but only 4 of them were earned on May 26th. So, oh, man, Freddie's pretty tough. I'm only going to go 3, I think.
I have him in the four range, Baltimore and Oakland at home. I'm going to stick with four. Baltimore could hit 10 homers, but Oakland could hit none. So I'm going to stick with four. I have him in the four range.
I'm going to stick with the three just because he hasn't quite been as good as, you know, I think the baseline for him has been. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fair.
So I hate speculating on injuries, but maybe he did have an injury at some point this year, didn't he?
Well, it's got whiplash from watching all those home runs.
I guess he's been healthy all year, now that I look through his notes. But just seems like he has not been the same Freddie Peralta this year as we've seen in the past. So I just need to see – would like to see him kind of course correct and get on track before I go four.
Okay.
I'll go three. Louis Varland, we talked about a little bit earlier, at Tampa Bay, at Toronto. The guy in the chat alluded to those tough matchups. He's been really impressive, though. I'm rolling him out there in the stake league, mostly out of necessity, but I don't think I can go three, but I think he's a solid two.
I'm going to say one.
Yeah?
I like what I see, but these are tough matchups.
You're a little skeptical still, huh?
Yeah.
I get that. Well, Carlos Carrasco's suddenly seems to have found it a little bit. His last two starts, he's got a 1.42 ERA, 8.3 K to walk over, 12 2/3 innings. So hard guy to trust right now, especially given his injury history. You know, he could give up 5 earned runs in an inning, then leave the game. He's at Atlanta, at Pitt. I think I'm going to go three, though.
I'm still in the one range. I'm rooting for him because I think he was one of your underdog guys, right, towards the end?
Actually, it was more early on.
What I meant was
end of the draft.
Yeah. End of the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't take him every one of my drafts, but.
Yeah, I was on him early. I kind of pulled off, and thank God I did, but it hasn't been pretty. But he is trending in the right direction.
Well, two starts, maybe he makes our underdog rosters this week.
Nestor Cortez, Nasty Nestor versus the White Sox versus Boston. What say you on Nestor Cortez this week?
Not as sharp, but I think there's still history there. I'm going four. I'm going to stick with a four.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go four. That sounds right on Nasty Nestor. JP Sears has been a pretty nice story. Now he's 0-3 record-wise, but he's been pitching okay, and he's at Pitt, at Milwaukee. I'm only going to go two, but I kind of like what I'm seeing out of JP Sears.
I have him in the three range, but it feels two because it's a park downgrade and on the road, but I have him in the three range. I haven't completely updated all of my inputs, recency and updated projections, which could change things. So I'm going to say three, but he ended up may falling to two when I throw everything in.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, next up, Aaron Nola versus Detroit versus the Dodgers. You like keeping number five, the five grade special. I gave Elder a five last week. And I think I just have to stick to my gut here. Shout out Vlad Sedler and just say five.
I am as well. I wrote about Nola this week in the Z Files, part of our tout table. And I'm one of the few that favored him over who was in the first group? Joe Ryan and Sandy Alcantara. I decided I wanted Nola, and he's had a couple stinkers since then. Velocity's down, but I still think that he can recapture it, and we've seen it before. I don't love the Dodgers game, but I'm going to go five.
Yeah, again, it's mostly gut and just, I don't know, just preseason. I just can't see him being this bad. So versus Detroit versus LA, though, if the Velo stays down, as you alluded to, maybe it's time to reevaluate the baseline expectations.
And Eric Halterman warned us that based on the Phillies having literally the longest season of all time, coming from the wild card to the seven games, whatever it was, and Nola being part of that, there was some concern in Eric's part, Zach Wheeler as well. Zach Wheeler was a concern. Eric was concerned about Zach Wheeler, that there could be somewhat of a hangover as far as, you know, and maybe that's why the velocity's down.
I want to say, too, that there was a comment in the chat about my Bill Plaschke reference. I was saying that in jest, but yeah, I was kidding. But
well, I won't.
I never appeal to Plaschke as an authority on baseball.
Yeah, I won't mention that. I think it's Kirk Herbstreit that is right now in a.
Yeah, about the Reds.
With the Reds, it's like, you know, what do you, who is it to? Tiki Barber has been downgrading some of the Yankees. So, you know, these people are these. You know, you never played the game. So, yeah. So, Kirk, you know, Kirk's coming back and said, you totally misinterpreted what I said.
Hashing it out with Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, it's more fun than it was. You know, it's.
Yeah. But I kind of, he's a big Reds fan, Kirk Herbstreit. So yeah. I kind of like that he's just passionate. He didn't really like that, talk about where's India going to play.
Yeah.
But no, that was kind of funny. Him and Ken Rosenthal seem to hash things out. So they're not,
I think it was taken in the, ultimately it was treated in the jest or, you know, in the vein it was supposed to have been taken.
I agree. Johan Oviedo, we talked last week about how amid kind of a, you know, just mediocre outing, he had an immaculate inning. So that was pretty impressive. He's versus Oakland versus the Mets next week. I think I'll put him on that J.P. Sears, Louis Varland tier and say two.
So I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, slow pitch softball. If you get three outs on three pitches, is that like an immaculate inning?
Yeah, I saw somebody, maybe it was Sarah Sanchez, somebody, I forget who it was, but somebody saying that should be the immaculate inning, three outs on three pitches.
Well, yeah, I mean, but in baseball, you're trained to take the, you know, I did it in softball a number of times, so I've got tons of them back when this used to be able to pitch. But anyway, slow pitch. I pitched modified, but not very good. Anyway, who are we talking about? Oh, Matt Glenning, Oviedo. He's the ultimate tease, right? I mean, up and down and up and down in my mind anyway.
I'm going to, and he's actually, I mentioned like J.P. Sears. He's opposing Sears on Monday.
Yeah.
So I got them kind of in that same two bucket myself.
I'm going to go two as well. And just as, you know, it's one of those, you know, fantasy things, Lar Michaels for the term. When I use him, he stinks. And when I don't use him, he shoves. So that's
classic.
That's my thing with Oviedo.
Yeah, classic. Move by Oviedo. Now, Blake Snell's 1-6, one of my bigger misses of the campaign. Man, in my Towers head-to-head, I have, like, Snell and Manoa. It's just been a brutal season so far. Snell is versus the Cubs at Colorado. Given that he's at Colorado, I think I can only say 2 on Snell.
Can I bring Oviedo to 3?
Sure.
That's actually where I have him. Snell, I also have. Nah, I got him in the 4.
Snell's a 4.
I'm sorry, 2. I'm thinking. I had it backwards in my head. I used to do that a lot more. DVR.
I was gonna say that can't be right. You can't.
No. It's just. I mean, look. Yeah. You guys can tell when I do from my own records when I do them off the top of my head, because I'm looking over here, not here. I'm gonna go 2 and. I'm holding my, you know, I'm crossing my fingers at Colorado.
Holding your nose. Yeah, I get it. Seattle's got 2 off days, so no 2-star pitchers for them. Alex Wood got rocked this week. I mean, 6 earned runs, not the end of the world, but it was a home start against Pittsburgh, so that was a big disappointment for his fantasy managers. He also has to go to Colorado, Alex Wood, at Colorado versus the Cubs. This one might be the toughest one on the board this week. I think I'm going to go 3.
It's not as tough. I'm going to go 1 and not sweat it. I mean, literally, because this is not a two-tone shirt, folks. It's 90 degrees and, yeah, whatever. We all have our things.
Yeah, I guess that Colorado start. Maybe I'm going to bump him down to a 2-3.
All right.
Okay. 3 felt high off the tongue, and he talked me down.
He hasn't. Normally, he pitches better. He's not going deep into ball games. He's not in general this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now been, I don't say healthy enough, but he should have worked himself into a, you know, into the 6-inning range by this time.
Adam Wainwright's, it's looking like the end for Waino. He already acknowledged that this is his last year, right? And it's looking like it. At Texas versus Cincinnati, I'm going to give him a 1, but he's hanging on by a thread. I mean,
yeah, we asked Brian Walton, you know, about Wainwright and some of the other Cardinals, and he said, I mean, he's 41, and you know, mm-hmm. This happens. I got him as a 1. I got him in the 1 range. Actually, I have him as a 1 start pitcher, so I need to. I'm sure things changed since we did the since I did the rankings. We've updated the board, but even so, I can't imagine him being much higher than a 1.
Well, we went from a kind of a tough one a little bit ago in Alex Wood to one of the easiest ones, Shane McClanahan, 5. Martin Perez versus the Cardinals at Tampa Bay. Where do you land on Martin Perez, lefty?
Home run issues are back. I mean, that was what saved him last year, but they're back a little bit. So, I mean, we're back to, you know, he's good, but you know, he can get lit up, whereas last year he figured out a way to prevent that. I guess I'm gonna go two, but I don't love it.
Yeah, 2 sounds right. I mean, obviously last year was super fluky. He is 6-1, but
yeah, that's
playing with fire every single time.
Yeah, I mean, and last year he did manage to keep the ball in the yard, which he's not doing this year.
Well, I said Adam Wainwright was a 1 hanging on by a thread. And look, I'm going to say the same about Alek Manoah, but I get it if you want to go 0. I mean,
oh, gosh.
I don't know. I feel for the kid because I could sense that he's really frustrated and really, you know, just doesn't have any answers right now. And I saw a quote that he was thinking on the mound, like, don't throw a ball. And when you're kind of take that tentative approach, I mean, you're set up for failure from the start. So he's not attacking. He's tentative on the mound. And again, I'm going to go 1, but I get the case if you want to go 0.
And that's the bulldog mentality that some of us, I'll take the hit here. Eric Halterman was not in this group, but, you know, wish casted the bulldog mentality onto his strikeout rate and it would magically improve. Hasn't happened.
Yeah,
he just can't be this bad. But where I wrote about this in the Z Files. Where I'm at with Manoah, I have him on a couple of keeper teams, without getting the details, you can buy player with real money, buy him out. I mean, I'm wondering if is he even worth, you know, he'll bounce back. A guy like Manoah, I can't wait for next year because I want to buy the dip. We have 20 more starts to find out. So the answer will be a lot clearer in 20 starts or whatever, 18 starts. But other than he used to be good, I can't hang my hand on anything.
Yeah, there's really nothing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really nothing there to hang your head on. But I agree that he's got to be better than this. I admit I was guilty of just kind of wishing and thinking that with more experience and further refinement that he would up the K rate. But I guess the bulldog, yeah, I think the bulldog thing was more so just like workload. I thought he could really hold up to a heavy workload.
Right.
And he is taking the ball every fifth day, but just the results.
And that's hurting us because he's doing that.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Kevin Gausman's a 5. Jake Irvin, I don't see any reason to consider him. I'm going to go 0.
Yeah, no, I do not either. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with it. Yeah, agree with the 0.
All right, well, we've run a little long here, so let's go ahead and do our 2-start pitcher grades recap. We get one last timestamp jotted down here. 1:10:45. So we've gone pretty long today. Let's knock these out and get you on your way this weekend. Tommy Henry, 2. Bryce Elder, 4. Kyle Gibson, I say 3. Todd, 4. James Paxton, I say 3. Todd, 4. Kyle Hendricks, 1. Hayden Wesneski, 1. Hunter Green, 4. Luke Weaver, 0. Shane Bieber, 3. Denelson Lamet, 0. Lucas Giolito, I say 3. Todd, 4. Alex Fiedo, 1. Brandon Bielak, I say 2. Todd, 1. Hunter Brown, 4. Mike Myers, I say 1. Todd, 0. Tony Gonsolin, 4. Braxton Garrett, 3. Julio Teheran, I say 0. Todd, 1. Freddie Peralta, 3. Louis Varland, I say 2. Todd, 1. Carlos Carrasco, I say 3. Todd, 1. Carlos Nestor Cortez, 4. J.P. Sears, 2. Aaron Nola, 5. Johan Oviedo, I say 2. Todd, 3. Blake Snell, 2. Alex Wood, I say 2. Todd, 1. Adam Wainwright, 1. Shane McClanahan, 5. Martin Perez, 2. Alec Manoa, 1. Kevin Gausman, 5. Jake Irvin, 0. Well, great stuff today, Todd. Anything else on your mind today before we sign off?
No Chris Sale news yet, but real quick, when I was doing the refreshing, first pitch Arizona is officially being announced November 2nd to 5th in Mesa. So hopefully, Clay, you can return again this year, but we'll talk about it more as we go on. But that was a nice little nice surprise as I was waiting for the bad news on Chris Sale.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I missed it last year, but I very much plan to return. So that's awesome. All right. Yeah, hopefully I'll see all you all back there. Hashtag the return. All right, guys. Thank you all for being here. We'll talk to you next week on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Rival Fantasy.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.